This is a ZKTZ News Update. Results are in on a housing needs survey conducted by the Strathcona Regional District on Vancouver Island, which included individual communities such as rural Cortez Island. The data affirms a growing trend. Rental housing is in very short supply, is unaffordable for a significant number of renters, and the greatest increase in the population over the past 5 years, according to the 2021 census, involves retirees. Mark Varnesh sits on the Cortez Island Community Housing Committee and says addressing the situation isn't simple and will require bringing locals together to bring about both short and long-term solutions.
Generally, folks that are renting are working in retail, hospitality, construction, that are key industries for keeping things moving on Cortez and in the district. 41% of all rental houses district-wide are in a home that is either unaffordable, in need of major repair, or overcrowded. 41%, which, you know, that was striking for me. I know housing is a challenge on Cortez, but to know that 41% of rental households are unaffordable or needing repair, overcrowded, alarming. Short-term rentals since 2015 grew from 153 to 625 in the region, an interesting statistic. The cost of buying has increased and it's pricing people out. A household income of $70,000 could afford 60% of the listings in 2000. In 2020, that same household income could afford 16% of the listings. Rental prices have increased by 72% in the last 2 years or 10 years, and housing prices have increased 165%. The average home on Cortez is selling for $795,000, and the average person on Cortez can afford a $207,000 mortgage.
Dramatic shift, isn't it? Just in 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, the last 10 years. It's dramatic. I think most people are aware of the issue, but having these numbers, it's okay. It's really time for us to ask the question, do we want to keep going in this trend where it's becoming more unaffordable to live here and we're losing folks? Or are we going to make some changes in the community? Are we going to lobby at the district level and the provincial and the federal level to have more investment in housing? Things that the larger report talks about, which is, I think some people already know this, and certainly something I've been aware of, is that investments, we're talking about government investments, and government investments in housing actually has, it pays for itself. There might be a feeling from some folks that government shouldn't be using tax dollars to give people subsidized housing, that's not helping anything, and why should we help like that? When the reality is that the investment in housing, that dollar amount, is more than saved through the reduced costs in healthcare, in criminal justice systems, and social services. So that's just an interesting stat as we lobby for more government investment in housing, is that that investment, using our tax dollars to invest in housing, actually, there's a return on investment. It actually pays for itself through the reduced cost of other government services. So that's a really strong argument for the need for more investment from the government. But of course, that investment from the government isn't the only solution.
Which leads me to my next question, which is, what do you think the best ways are to mitigate the affordable housing here on Cortez crisis, that is?
It's not something we're going to fix overnight. There's some fast things we can do. There's some slow things we can do. And there's not just one solution that's going to fix everything. I think we need a real sort of broad approach. The report points out that we need strategic non-market and supportive housing options. We need to look at density. We need to remove barriers to construction. Population changes in Cortez, it's some more interesting stats, is that Cortez's population grew by roughly 9% or something in the last 10 years. Mostly through, the largest part of that is through the senior population. The number of young people 15 and under has decreased, and I think it's a trend that we've seen in islands south of us. It's really easy for beautiful places like Cortez to get bought up and turn into a holiday place. And I don't think there's anybody on Cortez that wants that. What makes, Cortez incredible is the diversity of ages that we have here, that we have families, that we've got older folks can stay here through their whole, and that the strength of our community comes from that intergenerational bonds that we have. So I think it's really important to protect that. There's things that are happening on Cortez already, looking at the seniors village. It's full, it's well used. The report points to the fact that as people age in their larger homes, they've lived their life on Cortez, they're now 70 or however old, and they don't need a 3-4 bedroom house. They need a one floor, one or two bedroom. So I think that's one of the solutions, is providing housing for seniors that's more appropriate for them as they get older, that it will free up some other housing on Cortez that's underutilized at the moment. There's rezoning options, and I think rezoning can be a real scary thing, because I don't think there's anyone on Cortez that says, let's just rezone everything and increase the population. I think these kind of things have to be done in a really strategic way, and also in a long-term way. Just because we rezone things and we make more room for houses, 10 years from now, are we just going to be sitting in the same problem? And we're like, oh, now we need to rezone again. I think rezoning is part of the solution, but we have to look at it as part of a larger strategy and keep in mind that rezoning isn't just the only solution. But it is certainly one of them. We do have a lot of land in Cortez. There's an opportunity for us to come together, develop a new community plan, and think strategically about where we want to increase them and how we can do that best. One of the faster term solutions is looking at things like a tiny house park, where it's pretty reasonably low investment. People can move their own tiny houses into the space. It's a quicker thing. It provides accessible housing quicker than some of the other options. And it's also affordable for younger people. For everyone, obviously, because not everyone wants to live in a tiny house, but there are lots of people that do. And there's lots of people that have tiny houses or want to get tiny houses and they don't have a place to put it. That's something we can do on Cortez. Where's a good place for us to put a tiny house park?
Right. Now, something I have to ask you about, Mark, too, that was quite evident when I looked at the survey results, was just the proliferation and the dramatic increase in short-term rentals. Is there any way to actually effectively, create more long-term rental stock by regulating things? Or what would be a way to address that? And of course, it would be difficult to force people to have to shift the way they want to rent their available housing. But what do you see as a way to help to address that situation?
Yeah, so the number went from 165 to 625 for short-term rentals regionally. The 5.8% of the housing on Cortez is being used for short-term rentals. I think it's really easy for everyone to be like, short-term rentals are the problem, and we're losing housing stock to that. It's part of the problem. It's not the problem. I wouldn't want to see a situation where we tell people that they can't do short-term rentals, because for some folks, that's how they can live on Cortez. They have a house, and they've got a cabin or a smaller house on the property, too, that they use for short-term rentals. There are some interesting things that other districts have done, like having like an Airbnb tax, where when people book a short-term rental, there's a tax that's added on, and that goes into investing in affordable housing. And that's, I've heard people speak about this before, alarm bells can raise, I can't afford to pay more taxes. And the kind of nice thing about this model is that the homeowner doesn't pay anymore, and who's actually, the tax is on tourists. So it's taken directly from the tourists, so people aren't making less on their short-term rentals. And it's one of the ways that governments can bridge high tourism areas to make sure that those places have homes for their workers. So, like last week, I talked to two people who are like, one person who said, I'm leaving Cortez, another person who said, they're like, I think I'm going to have to leave Cortez because they can't find housing. June rolls around, everybody gets kicked out of their September to June housing. Open it up for the summer for short-term rentals or for friends and family, whatever it is. And we have a huge population of a lot of young people who just can't find a place to live.
Indeed. Yeah, and I hear every business is struggling to find employees. And basically the issue is definitely, where can they be housed?
Exactly. And it's really looking at the trends here. Do we want to become a vacation, a place that people go to vacation? Or do we want to be a community that has families, that has a diverse population, that has a thriving economy in other ways? And I think the big thing here, the takeaway from this survey, is that there's a crisis. It's real. It's growing. And we need to come together as a community and figure this out and make solutions. I'm excited about Rainbow Ridge. I think that's a move in the positive direction. Cortez Housing Society has done some great work with the Seniors Village and the Rainbow Ridge, but it's going to be, I'm guessing, probably at least another 5 years before those units are available. In the meantime, businesses can't staff and folks are struggling to have a home and home. Housing is a human right. I think that's something to point out too. And when people are housed, they're more productive parts of society. If you're having to move 3 or 4 times in a year, it's harder to volunteer. It's harder to contribute to society in other ways. And so it's just such a huge issue that most communities across Canada are facing. This isn't a unique situation to Cortez. I think the situation situations are exacerbated in places that have higher tourism and are places that are highly desirable for short-term living. There's also things that we can do, and I'm actually optimistic. I think this is a wake-up call. I think people are passionate about the issue regardless of their political stripe. I talk to people that are more on the conservative side of things and people who are more on the sort of the left-wing side of things, and everybody wants to find solutions here. We're probably going to disagree on which solutions are the best, but I think the important thing is that we come together and find that common ground and make some decisions as a community that are going to move things in a different direction.
So what happens next, Mark?
I think the next stage is what we're doing now is we're talking to the media and we're speaking to people and getting people more aware of the nuances of the problem, the statistics around the problem, what the trends are, to broaden the coalition and bring more people on board who want to find solutions. That's part of the next steps. The next steps for Cortez specifically is to do an official community plan and actually put together a new strategy for Cortez that outlines where we want to look at rezoning or where we want to do developments that are going to make sense for the community that people want and that we need. And then one of the quicker quicker things we can do to alleviate some of part of the problem is housing. There's a lot of housing on Cortez that's empty too.
Right.
So there's housing on Cortez and people need housing. So how can we close that gap? I've spoken to a lot of people that are that have housing that are scared for renters because they've had bad situations or they've had heard bad stories about renters. I don't think that's the norm at all, but there's a bad apple that makes it hard for everyone. So I think we can look at ways to alleviate some of that risk as a community and convince folks to open up more housing, even if it is September to June housing. There's a lot of housing in Cortez that's not getting used, and it's not something you can force people to provide, but I think once people get that this is an issue that affects everyone, and it doesn't specifically affect more women and young families and children, and I think once people see that and once people are aware of that, there's going to be some shifts that take place. But it's not going to happen unless we come together and actually start getting strategic about it.
Greg Osoba, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.